Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome once again to the PRF table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap, and we are on session 2 of 5 episodes. In this month's series, we are dealing with release from financial bondage. Now listen, if those of you who have listened last week through our Facebook or listened through blogtalkradio.com, we want you to get involved into the conversation tonight. The telephone number to do so is 347-215-7934. Again, that number is 347-215-7934. This is the number that you would always call in to listen to the PRF table. Listen, to this series that we're dealing with tonight is dealing with themes such as who's interceding on your behalf? Are you comfortable in bondage? Can we identify the plagues that are needed for release from financial bondage? What about being released from bondage with wealth in hand? I know a lot of you haven't thought about that as a concept, but it's biblical. And what about no release until God deals with your oppressor? So these are some of the things that we started off dealing with last week. We will continue to deal with them in one way, shape, form, or another as we go through every Thursday night at 8 p.m. here on the PRF table. Listen, I want to tell you, last week we had such a phenomenal show. We had a brother that came on. He has been a returning guest to the PRF table, Brother Cornelius Parks, who has been with us on many times before. And he really broke something down to us. He broke it down that really focused on how those who jumped out of airplanes in the military, people who are airborne or air assault, and he gave us the understanding of what a jump master does. Listen, I can't go back and rehash everything from episode 1 of this series. So if you go back to blogtalkradio.com/PRF table, you will be able to see that as an archive show. You can also get to it through the calendar on our Facebook or on our website, and also on our Facebook page, PRF Teaching Ministry is where you can find us there. Listen, tonight we're going to really get into something that's probably going to be a little bit challenging. You know, that's one of the things that we do here on the PRF table. But the whole point of all of this is because God wants so many of y'all to be released from financial bondage. God has said through his spirit, I am tired of my people constantly remaining in financial bondage. And I'm giving them ways out. I'm presenting information to them to be able to help them. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a short break. We have several people that have said, hold up for a few moments. So we're going to go to a quick commercial break and try to get some other folks a little opportunity to get here to the PRF table tonight. We're going to go just take a short moment and deal with Back to Living Again. And I thought that would be a fitting song for us to go into our little first short break by Curtis Mayfield. Because, look, God is desiring for his people to live again. So many of y'all out there listening are in so much financial bondage, it's not even funny. And it's not funny. It's a serious matter, especially within the body of Christ. So we want y'all to be back to living again. So we'll be back with y'all in a few moments. God bless you. You're listening to the PRF table.
The right time, with something positive in your mind. There's always someone to pull you down. You just get back up and hold your ground. If there's ever something bad you don't want to see, just keep on walking and let it be. I don't want to hear about all this bad. No, no. Cause all that's bad just makes me sad. So every little once in a while, show some love and make me smile. Cry sometimes with tears of joy. Oh yeah, show it help, now won't it boy. Say yeah, summer, winter, fall, just go through the rain and through the snow. Let's get on back to living again. Right on, just get on back to living again. Get on back, get on back. Wherever life takes me, I don't know. Hey, just give me a truth and let me grow. I have these feelings in myself. Hey, I'm sure there must be someone else. Shooting guns in prison life. Is that what you want? Well, Jesus Christ, it's best for you to get back on track. There ain't no need in looking back. Don't look back. So you're trying hard. Well, try again. Sometimes you lose, sometimes you win. Just remember by and by. Just remember, it's best to keep a natural high. So summer, winter, fall, just go through the rain.
He said, go ahead, Mayfield.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yes. Well, listen. This is the PRF table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. We finally got Mama at the table with us. Mama, glad to hear your voice once again. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. So we knew we just had to give you a moment to get to your rightful seat here at the PRF table.
Thank
listen,
you.
Mama. tonight, as you've already heard, we are in our second episode of the five episodes that we have to really deal with release from financial bondage. And everybody who is listening understands, if they were with us last week, we're not focusing so much about what's going on in the promised land.
Yes.
Right? Because, see, we already understand, God has already revealed to us that so many people, that's all they are thinking about is, I just want to be free. I just want to be free. I just want to be free. And what God is showing us, as he did from last week,
yes,
is that there are some things that have to happen prior to the release. And
yes,
so we came from the book of Exodus. We were only able to deal a little bit with the first chapter, and I don't know if we even going to get out of the first chapter tonight, but that's okay. We go in as long as God says to go. Here's what I want to know, Mama. Was there, and if there wasn't, that's fine, but was there anything that particularly stood out to you from our last week as we introduced this series of release from financial bondage?
What keeps coming back to me is a mind change. And we have to want to change. And, you know, even if we are not a believer, say,
mm-hmm,
in Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm,
if you just think about it, we can change our mind about anything we choose to. We have that ability. You know, I can change my mind to get up at 8, or I could get up at 9. So it's just me making a choice. So that means I may not understand everything about the PRF ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But if I focus in on what's going on at that particular time and what subject is being discussed, then I know that the more I listen and the more I desire to change my mind, to want to do, to get involved in my personal life, then I am going to be successful. And understanding that it does take time, but as the word says, this race is not given to the swift or the fast. It's
mm-hmm
given to the one who endures to the end.
That's right. That's
amen.
Right. That's right. And listen, that's man, let me tell you, God gave me something this morning and I was just like, oh my goodness. He just takes us places that we never thought that we would go.
Yes.
And I want y'all to think about that. He takes us places that we never thought that we would go. So I want us to go back to the book of Exodus. I want us to go back to chapter 1 and just somewhere that I put down last week that was so important. We didn't spend a lot of time on it, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it today, but I wanted to come up in this episode as well. In verse number 7, it talks about the descendants, right? The descendants of Joseph and all of his brothers, right? That whole generation, they had already died.
Yes.
So the book of Exodus starts off with a new generation, right?
Yes.
And in verse 7, it says specifically that their descendants, they had all of these children and all of these grandchildren, right?
Yes.
And their descendants were so they had multiplied to such an enormous number that they were so great, and the Bible declares that they were extremely powerful and they filled the land.
Yes.
Mama, listen, I'm going to be all over the place tonight, but it's going to be where it needs to be.
Okay.
Something that God showed me that really had me thinking about slavery and bondage and captivity. The Word of God says they multiplied so great that they became extremely powerful and they filled the land. Oh, my goodness. It's amazing to me how people can be in bondage when they outnumber their oppressor. Think about that for a minute, y'all. People were in bondage. They weren't in bondage right then in verse 7 of chapter 1. They're not, but I'm just think about the concept of bondage and slavery, right?
Yes.
People oftentimes are in bondage, but they outnumber their oppressor. hold on. Come on, let's really think about that. How do we have so many people that have so much wealth in their hands collectively as a people, but yet still operate and stay in a place of bondage? I'm not asking for an answer to that question, Mom. I'm throwing it out there rhetorically,
yeah.
only to say that you have to recognize who you are. We have to recognize who we are in the body of Christ. We have to recognize that regardless of what kind of foolishness comes out of Washington, D.C., your city hall, my city hall, your county commission, my commonwealth, your commonwealth, it don't matter what organization or affiliation you want to put in there, that we recognize that we are powerful as children of the Most High King. And we should not be collectively nowhere considered to be subservient to anybody. Mm-mm. Not from a financial standpoint, because we realize that the number of Christians in the various states that a lot of our listeners come from is high. We know overall throughout this nation, there's millions upon millions and millions and millions of Christians. I could just say, as a black man, my people, Mama,
yes,
we're the greatest consumers, but we have the least amount of collective wealth being exercised. So, again, when I go back to that verse 7, it helps me to see, hold on, the first thing, if you're talking about being released from financial bondage, you need to know who the heck you are. See, you can't be that guy in church on Sunday morning, Mama. Uh-uh. That ain't cut. You can't have all the power in church on Sunday morning because the spirit is high, but you can't take that spirit out, and y'all can't connect with other folks in that same spirit because they have a different denomination than you, because they're a different color than you, because they're a different socioeconomic class of you, and think that you're going to – come on. Mm-mm-mm. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous, but ain't nothing going to get released into the righteous unless the righteous is positioned.
Right.
So this whole notion of being released from financial bondage, again, as we talked about last week in so many words, you got to be in the right position. Mama, do you remember Minister Parks talking to us last week? And he talked about the jump master and how you have to be positioned before you even go out the airplane.
Yes.
Some of y'all who didn't catch it last week, y'all, go back and listen to it. It'll make sense hearing what I'm hearing, saying what I'm saying right now. So if you're supposed to be positioned at a 45-degree angle, for example, facing to the left as you jump out the airplane, but you at a 45-degree angle facing to the right, and you jump out the airplane, you may go splat on the side of the plane, or you may go upward and get your head chopped off by the blades up on top because you wasn't in the right position as you were released from the airplane. So we all have to understand that God desires to release his people from bondage. Mama, listen, watch this. Even God's chosen people, Israel, who he led into Babylonian captivity, still had a release point. What, Mama, was it not 70 years?
Okay, I'm listening. Mm-hmm.
70 years was how long they were going to be in Babylonian captivity. That's what God said. So they knew, I mean, we talked about this from Jeremiah 29. We knew that after 70 years had come, that they would be released because God said it. So chapter 29 of Jeremiah has so much in it trying to help the people to be prepared for the release. Another example that I didn't even have before just now. So God's people, listen, men and women of God, pastors and colleagues, especially, if you don't get it in your spirit and don't get it to the people that you got to be positioned for your release may not come when you want it. I know that may not come with a want to be right on time. I got you, but we talk about a release point.
Yes.
Yes. We talk about how long are you going to be in Babylonian captivity? God said 70 years, you're going to be there 70 years. How long, Philadelphia, North Philly, West Oak Lane, are y'all going to be in financial bondage? If you don't know what the answer is to that question, what's the best thing that they can do? Be prepared, because here's the thing that I know. The children of Israel, in the book of Exodus, they didn't know when the release point was coming, because prophecy did not express that they were only going to be in captivity for 430 years. Prophecy didn't say that, mama.
No.
So when Pharaoh got fed up and it affected his household, oh, y'all get out of here. Get the heck on. Roll out. Kick rocks.
Yes.
Okay, so they had to be ready. Even though they were still being enslaved, they didn't know. And watch this. Remember, how many plagues were there? 10, right? There was 10 plagues. So Pharaoh, he did not release the children of Israel. He didn't release them until after that last one. But they could have been released after the first one. Could have been released after the second one. Could have been released after the third, fourth. You get where I'm going?
Yes.
Watch this. Can you imagine being so disappointed every time you know that Moses is going, and Moses and Aaron, they go to Pharaoh, and they say, God said, let my people go. And they come back, and he don't do it. He didn't do it. And then that plague comes because he didn't let them go. You can imagine that the people, the children of Israel, said, oh, my goodness, when is this ever going to end?
Yes.
When are we ever going to get released from this? And I just got to encourage somebody. Maybe I'm preaching tonight, whatever. But some of y'all got to know, you got to stay encouraged. Because if you do your part, then you can stand on God, on the faith that you have, and say, well, you know what, Lord, today I'm going to believe that today I'm going to get my release from financial bondage. And if it happens, praise God. You give God the glory. And if it doesn't happen, next day, Lord God, I'm thanking you. I'm thanking you for maybe today you're going to do it today, Lord. I know I've been expecting it for the last 6 days, but I'm kind of tired because it ain't happened yet. But maybe today.
Amen.
But here's the thing. You can't be asleep when it's time for your release.
Man,
you got to be awake, or at least you got to have somebody that love you enough to say, "Hey, wake up, bro! It's time to go."
Oh, that's good. That's good.
So another place from chapter one that I hit on a little bit last week, Mama, was the new king that came into power.
Yes.
He didn't understand Joseph. He didn't understand the history of Joseph and the brothers, right? That previous generation. He didn't know. This was Ramses, right? He didn't understand this. All he knew was, hold on, all these jokers out here,
yes,
they starting to outnumber us. And then the Bible goes in, if you read into that chapter one, he says something kind of ironic. It's like, hold on. Now, they now outnumber us. They now are stronger than us. So we got to devise a plan. Stop them from growing. If we don't stop them from growing, and then a war breaks out, then they're going to side with the enemy, and they're going to fight against us. And then we're going to have to leave up out of here. Now, hold on. Now this is something interesting. Let's look at what the text is saying, or what it's not saying. That should have you pose a question. Why in the world would you be concerned about some people who you're not treating harshly joining up with your enemy if you ain't doing nothing wrong to them. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that they were being mistreated. It doesn't say that. It doesn't even say that they were enslaved at that particular time. Nope, they weren't enslaved at that time. That's where God had them back, had them to go. You go back into Genesis. That's where God told them to be. So watch this. If you don't have that type of spirit inside of you that's full of mess, that's full of envy towards God's people, then you ain't got to worry about no about God raising folk up to come and attack you.
Mm-hmm. That's good, yes.
Okay, that needs to fit somewhere. I don't know, but let's keep going.
Okay.
So then in verse 11 it says that the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. Oh, so now they're in bondage. Okay, hold on. Now we're in bondage now. It talks about how they appointed these slave drivers who were just so brutal, right? And all they were doing was crushing their spirits, breaking down their physical bodies, forced them to build cities for Ramses and Pithom, right?
Yeah.
And this is what I brought up in last week's show. In verse number 12, it says, but the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more the Israelites multiplied and spread, and the more alarmed the Egyptians became. Now, you got a right to fear me if you ain't treating me right.
Yes.
Because, see, these were not Egyptians. These were Israelites, children of Yahweh, right? So
yes, okay.
They're serving a different God than these pagan gods of Egypt. They know they serving a different God. They know it. See, it don't become an issue until it becomes an issue. Got to know that in the release, what happened before the release? They had to be oppressed. But not only did they get oppressed while they were in bondage, they also multiplied and spread. Well, listen, the word of God got to continue flowing. Just because you're going through some financial stuff, you got to continue to put God in front of your mouth, on the front of your lips about your financial situation. Don't just expect somebody to come and just lift you out of that. You have a responsibility to be involved in your release by what comes out of your mouth. And baby, let me tell you, what's in you is going to come out to you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So you can't be expecting to have the release from financial bondage because you listening to the PRF table and you excited right now because you like, whoo, the spirit is moving tonight. And then between now and Sunday, man, I'm so broke. I ain't going to never get out of this situation. How long is it going to be like this? Woe is me. But then on Sunday, everybody think because your suit look nice and your dress is tight and your hat is super big and you got a robe on in the pulpit, don't nobody see nothing then other than what you display on Sunday. But then you come back out. These cycles. We're going to get to some stuff tonight. I don't know how much, mama. So, again, it was just in me to make sure. I know we've been going for about 30 minutes now, but it was just in me to really make sure that the people understood that all the oppression that has happened for you being in financial bondage, there's a release point. You can't keep putting new wine, or you can't put new wine in the old wineskins. It ain't gonna work. So if you're talking about that release, if you're talking about something new, then there's some old stuff that you just got to be willing to get rid of.
Right.
And when that release comes, and I'm skipping way ahead of myself right now, but when that release comes, you got to be careful about what you try to take with you when you're released.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Listen. Mama, I remember back in Philly, growing up. You probably didn't recognize this, Mama, but as a young boy,
yeah.
I remember watching people get beat down 10-1. I remember Tudor and his crew, and his family, brothers and cousins, on Washington Ave. And when I used to walk up the block, Mama, you ain't never noticed, didn't know this. When I used to walk up the block from Melvin Sample's house for playing video games all day after school, and I could see Tudor and his boys and his cousins and his brothers at the top of the hill, I used to go to the next block because I knew that anybody that come up through there that wasn't down with them, they going to get messed with. And I ain't like getting beat up as a kid, as a little scrawny kid. See, I'm buff a little bit now, so, you know, I ain't going for that these days. But back in that day, I was a little wimpy dude. Right?
Yes.
And I remember that, and I said, it's amazing how they would always jump on those who they thought was weak.
Yes.
Well, hold on. Let's go back to, again, the first chapter. They were so powerful. Extremely powerful, and they filled the land. See, my analogy just now was about people being beat up 10-1, 15-1. But in bondage, it's a whole different story. It's one oppressing 10. It's one oppressing 15. If you think about slavery, this is going to make it kind of live in Memorex for some. If you look at some of the even movies, recent movies, if you look at Django or if you looked at Roots, to go back to the set, if you even looked at Underground, a new show on TV, you will notice that there's never 100 slave masters keeping one person enslaved. There's always one person that got a whole bunch of folks in bondage. And God rose up something in me. How in the world can people stay in bondage when they outnumber their oppressor? Okay, fear, right? But in the spirit realm, you always in the majority.
Yes.
Because as a believer, it's always you and God, unless you walked away from God. So if you are always in the majority, if you don't have that mindset that it's me and God, Tupac got a song called Me Against the World. If Tupac is saying Me Against the World, what in the world can you do? Should you be saying as a believer?
Hey, amen. That's good. Oh, that's good.
So, okay. So the Egyptians in Exodus chapter 1, they oppressed the people. They did it without mercy. And then we get into the story of Moses, right? So I'm done with chapter 1. I'm not even going through the whole story of Moses. One of the questions that they were asking in this month is, who's interceding on your behalf? And so maybe next week we'll get to that part where we talk about Moses and talk about, you know, there's a jump master that needs to intercede on your behalf. There's a pastor that should be maybe interceding on your behalf. There's the PRF teaching ministry, Dr. Dunlap and the rest, who may be interceding on your behalf. But the question is, who are you following? See, you can't follow everybody and think that you're being released. Well, let me bring that back. You can follow whoever you want to and think that you're being released, but you may still be in bondage. Mama, I know it's tight. I know it's tight. Everybody who you think is out there to help you get out of your financial situation are not always doing it for your benefit. Sometimes they're doing it for their benefit. Mama, I got a question.
Yes.
And this is the question that I would love other folks to chime in on Facebook or send us messages as you do. But maybe it's not a question. Maybe it's more of a statement. You can be released from one place of bondage to the next. You can be released from one place of bondage to the next. Somebody could post that one. you can be released from one place of bondage to the next. Something came to me. So I'm gonna say something. The spirit came to me, and I thought about it. I thought about it. I said, if in the world of bankruptcy, as I mentioned last week, right, our U.S. government, our bankruptcy laws, our bankruptcy system that we have here in America, when a person gets discharged from bankruptcy, the intent is that that person does not have to come back and go through bankruptcy again. So there's some things that have to happen for a discharge to happen within the bankruptcy world. One is there has to be a meeting of the creditors, right? So there has to be a meeting where the creditors come together with the person who owes the debts and the other persons from the court to have a conversation about what do you owe. So I may be one creditor, Mama, and you may owe me $10,000.
Yeah.
Or the person may owe me, the debtor may owe me $10,000. You may be another creditor, and they may owe you $5,000, right? So we're coming together at some point during the bankruptcy, during the place of financial bondage, to be able to know, does this debtor have the ability to pay us back something along the way through the bankruptcy? Or are they just totally tapped out? They done cashed out all their 401ks. They don't have no money in the bank. They lost their job, been unemployed for 3 months. So if it's that type of place, if that's where they're at, then the reality of me and you, or you and I as creditors setting up and saying we want $100 a month is ridiculous. So that's just some of what happens in the meeting of creditors, right? That's not the totality, but that's a good visual for some. And then the other thing that has to happen is, and again, this is before the discharge comes, which is the release from the bankruptcy, is there has to be that financial management course that we talked to y'all about before. You have to complete that because somebody needs to know, and you got to present the paperwork to show that you've gone through that financial management course. Because the government says, for whatever reason, we're going to go through this. We're paying judges. We're paying staff. We got money going to attorneys. We don't want you coming back through this again. So we need to know that you have an understanding of how to manage your finances. And then there's another piece which is not totally relevant in the big synopsis of everything, but is relevant to a bankruptcy discharge and a deadline, an objection deadline. So if anybody has any objections, then they got a certain date that they got to say, hey, here's what we object to and this is why and all of that. That date has to have passed. So those are three things that in order for a discharge to happen, all three of those things have occurred during the time of the bankruptcy. Now, when the case manager comes, and they get that documentation that says, check, they had a meeting of creditors, check, there's been a financial management course completed by the debtor, check, the deadline for objection has passed, then now they get to go in and start processing the release, Mama.
Okay.
They get to process the release, and now the debtor gets released from the bankruptcy. Now watch this. They're going to go through those lengths as a government entity. What should we be doing within the body of Christ? Oh, I know it's tight, Mama. I know it's tight. What do you mean? No, I'm going to tell the people your breakthrough is on the way so that you can be emotional about it. Or maybe even your spirit will connect with your breakthrough was on the way, but that same spirit that connects with you that says your breakthrough is on the way doesn't speak to you to say you got to prepare yourself for the breakthrough, though. So that you're not just holding on, your breakthrough is on the way. Because can you, and this is one of the questions that the guy spoke to me earlier in one day this week, can you be released from financial bondage if you're not ready to be free? Mama, I jump in whenever you want to. I throw that out there. I would love to hear somebody's response to that. Can you be released from financial bondage if you are not ready to be free?
That goes back to being have to be, get prepared.
Mm-hmm. So I would say, what at least what I'm hearing or believe I'm hearing from you is that a yes? Do you believe that people can be free or released from financial bondage if they're not ready, or do you think that they have to be ready before they're set free?
Well, they really need to be ready before they're set free, because if they're not really again prepared, then they're going to end up right back in that cycle again. To be in right back up in court. In a bankruptcy court, because before that, they're preparing your case. You know, like you say, you have the credit, they have a meeting of the minds with the creditors. Then,
mm-hmm.
you know, the next thing is the financial management course. So right there, it's where your mind has to change right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can just do that as a, okay, I'm just doing this to get through this. But
mm-hmm.
if you haven't made up your mind, then I'm not, okay, I've learned a lesson here. This is not going to happen to me before. I'm going to learn all I can. It's this financial course that I'm taking. And now
mm-hmm.
this won't happen to me again, because now that I have some knowledge, I know how not to get back into bondage here.
Now, listen to what you just said. You said you know now how not to get back into financial bondage.
Yes.
So now I'm going to press us a little bit further.
Okay.
Have you done those things to make sure that you do not, or that you lessen your chances of getting back into that same place of financial bondage? That's one of the keys right there. See? Go ahead,
okay,
Mama.
What I was going to say to that, okay, I believe if I'm going through a financial management course, I am learning things about how to be a good steward over my money that I didn't know before, never even thought of it before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to teach me how to make a budget. They're going to teach me, you know, about just impulsive spending. I'm going to learn some. It's a reason why they take you through this financial management course, because they know that people just do not understand, for the most part, how to really manage their money and how to really budget their money and how not to be an impulsive spender. You know, I've never had a financial management course, you know, on that level, but I would assume that
mm-hmm.
they're teaching things that we are not aware of. And that as we write down that budget, then no, you don't need to buy a pair of shoes every time you get paid, you know. Well, I'm used
right.
to doing that because I think I deserve it, yes. But then if you look at your record here, this is part of the reason why you were in bankruptcy. So I'm sure they're going to discuss these things with them. So now if they are serious about wanting to be successful here, you know, and it's some, you know, as I say that, it doesn't mean it's not how much money you have. Okay, you're in bankruptcy court, but if a person is determined that I'm going to take advantage of this and I know this is going to help me, you know, I don't even have to pay for this course. So if they're desiring to really take this as a tool to get to the next level of managing their money, they won't ever be coming back, because that's going to be it's going to leave an impression on them.
Mm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and here's what I say to that. That is the tasting that we want to happen. Right? That's what we're expecting to happen. But can I tell you, that's what doesn't happen, which is why so many people go back into bankruptcy. And let me share this about the course, right? Just dealing with the bankruptcy course, which lets us know, don't get, when I say this, don't get your nose all turned up to the federal government because the church, I'm coming next, right? Watch this. This course, right? This course is not something, let's say a person is in bankruptcy for, say, 4 years.
Okay.
This is not a course that they tell you, you have to take it 30 days before your final payment to get discharged. You can take this course 2-3 months after you file for bankruptcy. So that means you ain't really learned everything that you need to learn during those couple of years of being in this financial bondage.
Okay.
You're just blocking, marking, checking off the blocks.
Okay.
Now, because the course will give you this stuff, but the how people retain it, how they utilize it. See, there's no follow-up, which makes – that's why the PRF Institute, that's why our ministry is so effective, because we follow up with folks. This ain't about giving you something and dropping you off. This ain't dropping you off at grandma's house and say – oh, I give you a perfect example. This ain't calling up saying, I forgot the little boy's name, but some of y'all going to remember this. Guy calls up and he says, hey, let me speak to your mama. He said, hey, Mary. Hey, this is Johnny. Hey, I ain't never come home again. Now, some of y'all remember that scene from Harlem Nights, right?
Yes.
This ain't one of them things where you just throw this out there and say, oh, you took this course. I ain't never come home. We ain't got to deal with this again. Right? We can't do that.
Okay.
That ain't what this is about. But that they have put into place what they've put in place, how they believe that it needs to be effective, and they're putting it a lot onto you as the person. What I'm saying, what we're saying here at PRF is, look, we got to make this thing continuous. Because see, the last time somebody was in bankruptcy is because they were unemployed. This time that they going through some financial bondage maybe because of medical bills. Well, the thing that they did when they were unemployed, they tightened their belt up, right? They didn't go out and spend as much. They went to the movies once a month versus every week. But heck, now this person got medical bills, ain't nothing they can do. Depending on the size, the type of the injury or the illness.
Yeah.
Those are two different things. It ain't about tightening anything up. It's, man, look, we can't pay. The person saying, trust me, I deal with folk all the time. I had somebody that had $77,000 in medical bills. I had one person that had like $9,000 a month because of a situation. I'm done that, but I can't pay it. Whatever's going to happen, going to happen, but I can't pay it. What you expect? So you can't use the same things for everybody. And here's something else that I know. Even with those in the military, I can say this for a fact because I used to be over the Army's personal financial management course, right?
Yes.
At one of the military installations, Fort Benning, Georgia, right, for several years. So everybody who came in the Army came through that course that I was over. Everybody. I did this for 5 years, 100,000 plus. And you still got military folks, Army folks, that still file bankruptcy. Hold on, you got all this training at the beginning stages of your military career, but yet 2-4 years down the line, or even after people get out, they file for bankruptcy. Hold on, how does that happen, right? If we take what you said, Mama, which is what we're thinking, right, and as reasonable thinking people, the training, you should know not to do this. You should know not to purchase that. But here's what my critique was the whole time I was there. After they leave us, who's going to pick it up and just spot check? Who's going to check in with them and say, hey, how are you doing now? Can we do this 6 months after they get to their next location? Right? And it goes back to what I said earlier. You can be released from one place of financial bondage into the other. Because if you haven't learned the tools, see, you can be presented with something, but that don't mean you learned anything. Come on.
Yes, that's right.
How do I know this? Because everybody don't listen to us when we're up in the pool. I'm sorry. Everybody don't apply what we teach or what we may preach from the pulpit every Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday and Tuesday every week. because everybody doesn't get it all at the same time. So that's why having this type of ministry is so vitally important, because you got to have folk that can walk with people through the journey, not just drop them off at grandmama's house, not just say, hey, I ain't coming home no more. Mama, listen, people who have been in bondage for so long, financial bondage particularly, eventually stop crying out, and they just go with the flow.
And that's interesting that you're saying that, because when I was watching Roots, and when they, I'll make a long story short, when they got delivered, Chicken George's mother, one of them was saying to her, you know, about this is their home. This is their home. And she said, this has never been my home.
Wow. Never been their home.
Yeah, she said, I mean, they were just so, as you saw the movie, they were so excited just to be, you know, released. And she said, this has never been my home.
You know, these people, Mama, these are the same people that we worship with Sunday after Sunday. They're sitting there in financial bondage. These are the same people that stopped coming to church, that's experiencing financial bondage. And so many people don't want nothing to do with church, because it's painful to know when the church has the resources. I told you I'm coming. Yeah, here I am. To know that the church has the resources are there, that they're there, but they don't get released to them. We call that the hoard and the Lord syndrome. Not Lord with a capital L, with a lowercase. Right? I mean, let's be honest. I know for a fact that it's not a matter in a lot of cases of not having it to release. Some folk are hoarding it as if it's theirs and choose not to release it. So what happens is people remain in financial bondage, because this is not an either or, but it's a both and. So as one pastor said to me, you know, we have to take a look at, and we're going to form a committee so that we have some people that have the right type of spirit that can look at these situations when people come, so that we can help them out. But hold on, there's something else. We ain't no bank. This ain't the ATM, and this ain't your bank. So if we're going to do this, then this is what we need you to do. And you know what that does? Into financial bondage. Actually, it helps them to get released. Because if you are telling me that if I needed $150 for my light bill, and I come to your church, Mama, and you say, you know, look, here's what we'll do. We're willing to do this for you, Brother Dunlap, or whoever it is. But there is some, we have the PRF teaching ministry that comes in every month. So listen, the course for whatever, it costs $50 every time to bring them in here. That's what it costs us per person as a church. So we're willing to let you come in for free. But we're going to give you this $150 for your light bill, but we're going to require you to come in for here for three times, because you need to get something else instead of just getting this one thing. We can't just give you a fish. We're trying to teach you how to fish.
Amen.
But that's what we need you to do, because we don't want you to be in this situation time and time and time again. Now, and you got to understand, now this is me talking. If you don't go through with your part, then you know you can't come here, and you know that we're connected as churches, right? So you're not going to be able to go to Brother Johnson's church around the corner next month to get money for your light bill, because, see, we're all talking as pastors. Because we're all trying to make sure that we're helping everybody in the community that's willing to be helped. So now you let them know your lifeline is going to be cut off if you don't do your part. I ain't asking you for nothing. I'm telling you, you need to come and receive so that you can get the release, so that you don't go from one place of bondage into the next. or never even get out of bondage in the first place, never get the release. Because a lot of it has to do with being prepared, getting some preparation before the release. So, Mama, listen, tonight, I hope that and pray that we've done a good job in the sight of God before anybody, in further examining the release of your release from financial bondage.
Yes.
We got to deal with the release part of release from financial bondage. So many people want to be released from financial bondage, but don't know what release being released is all about.
Yes.
Listen, again, we're talking about who's interceding on your behalf. When you look at what the children of Israel did, right, when we look at Exodus chapter 12, when they left Egypt, they left and they followed Moses. But they were really following God, the Spirit of God, flowing through Moses to do what Moses did to help prepare that particular group of people at that particular moment. Look, God said, time to let y'all go. Some of them were like, oh, no, we good? No, God said, it's time for you to go. Time for y'all to get out of here. And Mama, if you go back into Genesis, you'll realize that there was a famine in the land, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There was a famine in Egypt, and there was a famine in Canaan. Now think about this. People don't even realize the parallel. Okay, there was a famine in Egypt, and there was a famine in Canaan. Well, who was the one who went before the king and interpreted the dreams in Genesis 46?
Joseph.
Okay, were they Egyptians? No. Where'd they come from? Canaan. Okay, hold on. Somehow, the brothers came from the place where God is releasing them back to later on in Exodus. That's interesting to me. We talk about reconciliation with God. Now, I know I got some of y'all puzzled. Just go look at it. We talk about reconciliation with God. They had to come from a place to that place for God to do what he needed to do at that particular time in Egypt. And then it had to have been God's plan for them to be released from Egypt to go back to Canaan, because we're able to read that. So I want people, don't curse the place that you're in, because there's purpose there. There's purpose for everybody who has been in financial bondage. There was a purpose behind that. Every purpose may not be pleasant and good in our sight, but God knows what's needed. He knows what his people need to go through in order for them to get into a better place. Mama,
yeah.
I'll throw this out here as the final thing that I have, and maybe we'll pick it up next week. God showed me that there's two types of releases. Type of release that God brings and the type of release that you do on your own. I know y'all was waiting for something deep, but I already told you it was going to be deep. Yeah. And I'll run them down to you. The type of release that God brings. So the type of release that God brings, think about release for financial bondage. Type of release that God brings, it has purpose. Type of release that God brings is for community. the type of release that God brings, it brings glory to God, brings glory to Him. The type of release that you do on your own. Let's go back to the airplane. See, remember how we talked last week. The jump master goes out first, right?
Yes.
Make sure that all the calculations were right. Make sure that we land where we're supposed to land in the area. And if something happened when you realize that you up there and they do that first pass and they say, oh, we can't send y'all out yet, then you know something must happen to the jump master. We need to do some recalculating, right?
Yes.
But if during that second pass, they say, oh, no, everybody, hold on. Don't go yet. Don't go yet. But you decide you want to go anyway. Then it's not going to be a hard thing to understand if you meet the same fate as the jump master. No, I'm good. All my equipment good. Really? I hear that from pastor. Oh, we good. We do that already. Man, please, your folks sitting up in PRF. What you talking about? You good? You ain't that good. Maybe you're not effective. Oh, how come nobody in your church know you got this going on? But y'all already doing it. Please stop this foolishness. I digress.
Yeah.
So the type of releases is the first one is it brings God glory. Mm-hmm. It's about immunity or community, and it has purpose, a godly purpose to it. And the one you do on your own. It also has purpose, Mama.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got to get free so that I can do this. I got to get free so that I can feel better. I got to get free because some of y'all think I'm already balling out of control, and if I don't hear me get free, then my jig going to be up. Okay, that's fine because you're releasing it on your own. I got to be free because I packed my parachute. And I know my parachute is good because I did the calculation. Okay, that's purpose. Being released, doing it on your own, it's for self. Ain't got nothing to do with nobody else. See, you can say all day long, oh, I got to make sure I got to do this for my family. Uh-uh. Your family don't even know you're going through it. What you talking about? I want to do this to bless the Lord. You can bless the Lord with what you already got. So the Lord knows if you get more in your hand, you ain't going to bless him with that. You think you fooling? You sitting down there like Ananias and Sapphira. Boom. Acts chapter 5. Go read it. Another thing about releasing on your own is it will lead you back into the same or a similar area of bondage or maybe because you haven't learned the full knowledge of truth as to why you was there in the first place. Think about it. Yeah. You gonna go ahead and do it on your own. It's about you, your own individual self purposes. Yeah. You might as well expect it. Because see, yeah, I'm not the only one trying to give him a commentary. Just take it, write it down, y'all let God reveal it. Go ahead, Mama.
So this is going back to bondage. When you were saying we can be released from one bondage to another, you know, when the slaves were free, some of them did not weren't that excited about being free. This is my interpretation, because then some of them say, "No, I'm going to stay," because you know, they were afraid to step out. The others, they didn't know where they were going either. I mean, they know they were going north, but they didn't know, just like Abraham, didn't know exactly where they were going. But because they were free, they were getting away from there. But then mm-hmm. there were others who was saying no, because they've been good to me, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to stay right here.
That's right.
Okay? And so you can get so comfortable. They were just comfortable. They had gotten comfortable in, you know, doing this. They knew what they were going to do. They knew what time they were going to get up. You know, they knew all of that. And it was just, I suppose, a fear that the man, you know, I'm not going to know what to do. I'm not going to have food to eat. You know, we don't have no food. We don't have no clothes. But as we know, the majority of them kept on going. So again, as you were saying, you can be released from bondage, but because the person's been so and it's so many years and comfortable with it, you know what I mean, then it's just become a way of life, and they don't see any other way but that way. This works for them.
That's right. And again, that all ties into that last point of leading back into a same or a similar area of bondage because you haven't learned or come into the full knowledge of God's truth, the truth of why you were even there in the first place. See? Okay, I told you that Joseph and his brother, remember Joseph's brothers, and remember where they were at? They were in Canaan. So if you go back and you study, you ain't even got to study, just read it. You'll read that there was a famine in land, and Joseph's brothers came, and remember, they didn't know it was Joseph, but Joseph was already in charge. He was a governor. He was running everything.
Yes.
Right, but they didn't know all that. And then, you know, they had to give up, you know, they had to give up some so they can keep on going for a little while. Then people gave up some more so they could keep on going for a little while, and then you had the famine that continued on, and then now it's like, okay, what we do now? I thought about, I don't even know if I want to go there. I guess I have to. History of your bondage is essential for your continued release. If you think about slavery in America with Africans that were brought from Africa, not immigrants. Nope. Jesus.
It wasn't by choice.
I could just say my ancestors, because I'm black, did not voluntarily come over here to seek a better way. And let me just say, because we were already kings and queens in Egypt.
Yes.
We were already kings and queens in Africa. So ain't no way in the world we're trying to give up to be put in slavery. Why the heck? That don't even make sense. Oh, Jesus. That don't even make sense. No, we weren't immigrants. My folks were slaves.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's go.
We didn't come over here by choice.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. What did Malcolm say? We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us. but watch this. After let's talk about what you said. After they were released, right? After the word came down, right?
Yes.
That after it was on paper that they were released from bondage, released from freedom, released from slavery. The question was, okay, where are you going to go? Everybody ain't honoring that piece of paper. We know that. That's why stuff continued to be rough. And that's why we're living as a result of some of those things today, right, with wealth being stolen from folks. So we can't even play that game. But you know what? When folks were saying, go back to Africa, I heard this in my lifetime. I wish they'd have said that back after the emancipation came and put those immigrants back on the boat and gave them a seat on the boat and sent them back over to Africa where they could have been reunited with their culture. But no, it didn't happen like that. No, we got you here. We dropped you off. We dropped you off at grandmama's house. You're on your own now. Now folks got to fend. And I bring that up, and you know, there's a little humor in it, just a little bit, because that's some serious stuff.
Yes.
But the reality is, when you don't know where to go once you get released, then you can easily wind up being back in that same or a similar place of bondage. And what we're trying to get across, what God is trying to get across through us to some of you, all of you who are listening, is that when God releases you, let it be a release. The Word of God tells us that he who the Son sets free, Jesus said this, Jesus said, the one who the Son sets free is free indeed. So as we're teaching and talking and preaching and exhorting and encouraging on release from financial bondage, through Jesus Christ, I'm expecting that those of you who take a hold to what God is saying in this season will be released free indeed. Not no temporary release. That ain't a release. Think about when you, back in the day, I say back when my daughters were young, they still got these things now, I guess, but we'd go to Six Flags or Dorney Park or Hershey Park, and they were young, right? We had this little wristband type of thing or a little harness on the back of them. They were released to go, but they couldn't go no further than the release. No further than the little stringy thing. They pull them back. They trying to go forward, they can't go nowhere. We don't want folk in that type of place thinking that they're released, but no, you ain't released because somebody still got a hold on you. So, again, by the time we get to this fifth week, there should be a whole bunch of you who are listening that should be able to say, you know what? You start declaring it right now. I'm free from financial bondage in the name of Jesus. Right now. Declare it every day. It ain't no way in the world. By the time we get through 5 weeks of this, of God speaking, that you should be having any type of mindset that you ain't free. You can't look at what's on paper and expect what's on paper to determine your freedom. Because my ancestors had some stuff on paper and they still wasn't free. I'm done.
You know, I just want to add this. I was thinking about Chicken Joy's mother and how she never accepted defeat. She never accepted defeat.
Never accepted it.
No. She knew, and she just believed. So when it happened, she was the only one that said, this has never been my home. Because in her mind, she had made a choice that this is not my choice to be here, but since I am here, I don't have to accept it. And you think about Joseph. That was not his choice, but since he was there, he's going to still serve God. And he's going to be obedient, although he was in captivity. And look how he was released.
Yeah, Joseph went through some things before getting to that place of governorship.
Yes.
He went through some things. And again, what we're teaching on, what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, this thing is not about you and your own personal. Because if everybody tries to do this on their own individual islands, then you'll remain out there on your own individual island. And then you'll realize at some point that you need other folks. And then other folks may not come to your aid. So we got to be in the mindset that we want the type of release that God brings.
Yes.
And we'll get into that some more as we really start digging into some more aspects of being released from financial bondage. So, Mama, look, it has been a great evening.
It has.
We are so grateful. Thank you for your presence here at the PRF table. I'm so gracious and so honored just to be a part of something that like this that God is doing in this season.
Amen.
I could tell you as a side note, we are working on, we're finalizing, praise God, we're finalizing our legacy conferences for this year. We will be doing at least 6 conferences throughout the United States, teaching specifically on will you or will you not. These will be one-day conferences on a Saturday between April and August. Just excited, so great. I'm so grateful. I'll say it publicly. I am so grateful for all of the no's for allowing us the space to be able to come and teach what God has given us and what we know is powerful, what we know is needed, what we know has already been validated, and what we've gone through personally. So I'm thankful for everybody who has said no. I'm thankful for everybody who has said no, because every time we got a no, there came a yes behind it. May not have been a yes right directly behind it, Mama, But we got two no's earlier this week. The day after, I got two no's within 5 minutes earlier this week. The next day, I got one of the biggest yeses I could have got.
Amen, amen.
Today, I get another one. So thank you for everybody who said no. And I pray that your folks who are in financial bondage, who need this teaching of will you not, I pray that they don't stay in bondage to that.
Amen.
To your no, and they say yes to God because they need to invest in themselves because their family depends on it. Because at the end of the day, if the church is not going to take care of me, then I need to be trying to do something to make sure I'm taking care of myself. And then hopefully people will be of the mindset that as we do what we need to do to take care of ourselves, then we'll be in a better position to take care of the church.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Mama, thank you so much. We're out of here. We are so, again, so grateful for everybody. And just join us next week here at the PRS table, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We would love for you just to be with us. God bless you. We love you. Good evening.